Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This week was another installment in the series on Exodus. So we were in Exodus 35 this week, and I am sitting here with
Raphael Gandler.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So Raphael, if you had 10 extra minutes to explore something different or expand on something you already talked about, what would it be?
I think I would have just dug in a little bit more. This topic that we talked about on generosity on Sunday, especially looking first of all at the context of these hearts that have been moved by God's grace, and then now they've been forgiven. God has dealt generously with them, so they respond in that way. I think what I wanted to do was to just run into some of the tensions of, and I think our home groups are going to be doing this, man, how do you train yourself to become a generous person? I think as you... one of the best ways to do that is actually just to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something about that, like where, and I think I had written it down here, and I didn't really just like, I didn't really get to go deep a little bit into it. That text that comes in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Mm-hmm. A way for us to give our hearts to what God is doing is by actually actively putting in what we treasure in that very thing that we know God treasures, which is the church. Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And then, but when he invites us to co-labor with him in the work of the church, mm-hmm. go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, you know, and also just teaching them everything that I've commanded. When we begin to think about, like, if we begin to take our treasures and put them right in the center of what God is doing, all of a sudden now our hearts begin to, we unlatch our hearts from every other concern and kingdom and like any other by putting our hearts into what we treasure the mm-hmm. most, right? So, and so that's actually like what, like, especially when it comes to now the giving aspect, the generosity aspect, I have found out that, like, because I treasure God's work in Guatemala, anytime I hear of any anything that's happening there, because we support a church planter there, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's like
it hits home.
It hits home. Yeah. You hear Guatemala and you think about the people that you care about that you've been investing in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what that verse is talking about.
Yeah.
When you start thinking, if I hear anything is happening, let's say like Common College or with college students, mm-hmm. then it's like, hey, Tyler, are you okay? How are you dealing with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like where our treasures is. And then at the same time as well, how have you responded to the banks that have been crushing the past couple of weeks? Like, because you bank your money in the banks, your treasure is there, your security is there, all of a sudden it's like people are inquiring. I was asking a couple of bankers in our church, like, hey, how have people been talking and thinking? And they were saying, yeah, people have been asking, is my money safe? Because their hearts are also tied to where their treasures are. So
yeah.
So this is actually what I was going to just kind of maybe just talk about. The fact that holding on to our money says something. That we fear not having sufficient funds at some point in the future, right? When it comes, especially when it comes to just Christian generosity, I'm not, here, I don't want you to hear me wrong, because there's the other side where I've just seen some. We're going to talk about this. I've seen on the other side where churches literally like are sucking people dry that literally have nothing, where you have no. I'll say it this way. I don't think it's wise for like any minister, anyone to be driving maybe, let's say, a car that literally has no way to identify with the people, the median, the median, people of his church. Well,
right? And I mean, like thinking about that specifically, like I had a friend that was... And he was in Texas.
Yeah.
As like a youth pastor at a CMA church there. And like this is like the Silicon Valley of Texas.
Yeah.
These people are driving Lamborghinis to church.
To church, yeah.
I mean that's their time to get out and use the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, that right there, it's like, okay, well, that's your obviously your upper echelon.
Your upper echelon
in,
people
in your
yeah.
community.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, what does that say about, you know, something like, should the pastor be somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I get you down here. I get where you're coming from. I also get where they're coming from. I see both sides.
Yeah. I just think we also have to be aware of the fact that, like, Christ came and he used the normal, he didn't use a chariot. He used the normal ride, which is a donkey, which is also... And here, it's not talking against riches, it's just talking mainly the posture of humility is necessary within those that are actually, like, influential. So that's number one. But, like, yet at the same time, our holding on to it, it kind of betrays the unbelief of the fact that you have your provision in your Heavenly Father, which is Matthew 6:26. Kind of talks of it this way, where he says, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow and they reap or reap, gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more worth than they?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a believer, and this is like one of the best things that I've ever had to settle down in my heart, like, is just that like, never to... let anxiety have its day. I'm not saying I never get anxious about provision and all that stuff, but never having to let anxiety get its day by just realizing God is more interested in providing for my family and I more than I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually that. Are you or not of more worth than they?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, meditating on God as your Father, like, enables you now to give from the heart. And not only that, like, because our text says they were moved from the heart. That's the center of that text. Moved from the heart. And they followed the prompting. Mm-hmm. We ignore the prompts, like, the prompts of giving or being generous simply because we begin to question... and we begin to question because we begin to calculate, am I going to make it? No, I'm not going to make it. So therefore, it's not going to work, right? And so there's that side. And then also, one of the things that at least I was going to mention is that, so you see God saying that, like, hey, meditating on the fact that Jesus is our Father, but also meditating on that, he has promised to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, which is Philippians 4:19, right? He has promised that.
Yeah.
Right? He's promised that. So one of the best things there is that, like, I just kind of like, the best way to discover just the beauty of generosity is to practice, like what I would say, just like a quick draw, like a quick obedience, like almost like, man, like, let me give now and then let me regret later. Like, but yet I actually have not regretted later, right? And so that's actually just like where practicing instant obedience eventually gets us to get to a point where we discover that that God is really good.
Yeah, yeah, which is really interesting. So, like, I follow Mike Winger on social media.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know who Mike Winger is, he's just like he's a YouTube pastor, basically. YouTube teacher. Bible teacher.
I mean, he's just good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he is a pastor as well. Like but one of the quotes that he has is, delayed obedience is passive rebellion.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. That hits hard.
Yeah.
Because that's the exact opposite of what the Israelites are doing here.
Yeah.
It's active obedience. It's like instant obedience. Why?
God,
because they've seen God and do his thing. But also, they're like, listen, if we know what happens if we disobey God and we rebel. Like, it's not, it doesn't work out for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And just...
That's good.
Yeah, I mean,
that is good.
The generosity thing, like, maybe you can speak to this a little bit better too. You know, this is not, you know, from like the pastoral, from somebody who does like who is supported.
Yeah.
And like, we're not like, God doesn't call us to live necessarily a life of poverty.
Yeah.
He doesn't call everybody to do that. Some people he does, like Mother Teresa. He called, God called Mother Teresa to live a life of poverty among the people of India so that she could empathize with them in a level of, hey, I'm in this with you.
Yeah.
But he doesn't call everybody to do that, just like he doesn't call everybody to be celibate. So, you know, what would you say to that kind of charge? Like, hey, no, you should be driving a beater. You should be kind of basically like scratching the budget every time to get a little bit more out of it. Like, what? Not living in a state of poverty, but living in a way that's thriving for your family. Like, what would you say to something like that?
I mean, so, I would say that, like, every single person has, and then that when in that passage it talks about prompting and talks about the spirit heart moving. And so I think every one of us is called to run a race, right? Jesus has called us to, and he calls us in different ways. And so if that's you, and God has called you maybe to live that kind of life where you give everything and you just really, you live that kind of life. The question is that, like, is that what God has called you to do? But then there's also, I just don't think everyone is, and one of my points was that, like, in there was that that giving is different. Like, it's according to your means, according to, so that's one of the reasons why, like, tithing is, as much as, like, New Testament giving blows up tithing, 10% is the training wheels.
Yeah.
But, like, so if you take, let's say, for example, two families, one is making $30,000 a year, and one is making $480,000 a year, and then you say all you have to do is give 10%, which one is giving more? And which one is not? What's going on there? God has blessed this one that's making so much more. And they could probably, like, if they give liberally from their own heart and, like, as a, like, God has blessed me with the means to do this, they can give. I don't think, so that's actually now, like, where this New Testament giving. So I would say that, like, with people, according to what, I think every single one of us has to be going to God and saying, God, I was actually going to say, like, in In 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and chapter 8 and 9, it actually just like talks about the fact that, and I was trying to find out, that basically like they gave their hearts first. That they, mm-hmm. they basically like that is their giving, you know, actually it's actually verse like where you see it in verse 5, I think. They gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us by God's will. I think it's in there somewhere. Where he's talking about the fact that like mm-hmm. they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing the ministry, like in the ministry to the saints, and they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. Mm-hmm. And where I think what's important in when it comes to like, God, what do I do with what I have? Mm-hmm. I think you need first of all, give your heart first to the Lord and then let him move you from there.
Yeah.
Then like what do you give, as long as you align your heart with God, I don't think you need to be feeling bad that you're driving such a car. And then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot straitjacket everyone into the same kind of like,
yeah.
because
yeah.
this is a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Someone actually like can be called to give away all their like possessions. And then mm-hmm. someone may be called to give maybe just like, but I don't think that's a,
mm-hmm.
and that's now like at least like where even as I was looking through this and just like saying like giving it away also speaks to the fact that like you are reinforcing the fact that like, God, I'm really here. I want to be about that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways at least we strip away selfishness in some way and be about God's work is by actually, and by giving. And I'm proud of our church in this way. They give to local missionaries like you,
mm-hmm.
Who works in college campuses. And like we've got even Noah who was on stage and Lydia who was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all crew missionaries and we give towards them. But then we give also to missionaries all around.
All around the world,
and
yeah.
part of that is actually like, hey, we are just mainly trying to actually just, as you see that, as you make a conscious budget, as you see on your statement it coming out of your mm-hmm. account, there's a freedom that comes with that. A freedom mm-hmm. of the fact that like all we like to spend on ourselves.
Oh yeah.
But I actually love the fact that like when I'm holding $1,000 and I'm about to just go blow it up on something that I want to go, that like, and the
like
question,
your iPad?
Yeah, like, but then the question that's there is actually like,
mm-hmm.
but why? Why mm-hmm. is it that I want to do this? And this is actually what David Mathis says. Generosity is an occasion to look past the small joys of self-oriented spending and to pursue the greater pleasures mm-hmm. on spending on others. So, and so a good instinct to develop on the threshold of significant purchases is to ask what this expenditure reveals about our heart.
Mm.
I was like, dang, that's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Like he says that, yeah. what desire am I trying to fulfill?
Mm-hmm.
Is this for private comfort or gospel advance or mm-hmm. expressing love to a friend or a family member?
Yeah.
There's just something about that, like where it's like, okay, why am I doing this? What does it reveal?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times, praise God for having wives. Like having a wife, not wives. Having a wife.
Good correction.
Just don't get it wrong. Thank God, because my wife always just like, I walk in so excited and I'm like, Heidi, I need this, and,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, no, you don't need it. Like, and I'm like, but. And she's like, no, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you want it? And like, and I'm so glad. And even mm-hmm. in the church as well, that we don't just like, you know, our checks as well. Like, we don't just, like, there's a cap on our spending as well. Like, mm-hmm. where it's like, hey, over this amount, yeah, you can buy a gift for so-and-so and you can do that. But over this amount, yeah, The pastor just doesn't wake up on a day when he's like, yeah, we're going to get a new LED screen, or we're going to get a new whatever. Oh, my dog needs a heated kennel. Like,
the fact that those exist.
Yeah, the fact that those exist. So I'm just saying, at least there is accountability and that like stuff to actually like, and I think, and I'm going to say this to everyone, I think it's very good. I'm not saying that, like, you need to do every... I think it's very good to have community around you when you're processing big decisions.
Oh, yeah.
At least just have some people where you're like, hey, man, I just... I'm about to buy this, or I'm about to build this. And this is where I'm like... You know, I'm about to buy a yacht. and then the question that says, is that, like, hey, so... I know you want to get this, but like, what do you think this is going to help you with? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Because sometimes we go and we get and we do something that eventually even takes you away from the work of God, takes you away from people, withdraws you and makes you a silo and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's now like where sometimes, and I say it on Sunday, that like sometimes I am so grateful that there's some things that God did that God doesn't give me because they will be my ruin. So, anyway, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, that's really good too, because like, you know, after years, like speaking from experience here, after years of living, paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And yeah, like there were some things that like, you know, there were some comforts that I definitely splurged on that probably didn't need to.
Yeah.
That kind of forced me into that mentality of having that community around me of, hey, I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is this a good idea? Because you know my situation. Like my dad was one of them. My mom was one of them. Yeah. Scott was one of them, because he's good with money and I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, now, instead of it being a whole group of people,
yeah,
it's my wife. And yeah. Taylor's like, you know what? You probably shouldn't do that.
Believe me, take that. Yeah. And literally, like, because I hate the other side of, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you've lost everything. And all of a sudden, it's like she's having to say, hey, there's a reason why I'm a helper fit for you.
Yeah, and especially because I want to go back to school, and she's like, yeah, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that type of stuff. But at the same time, like, but it's for Jesus.
Yeah.
So,
which speaks of the fact that, like, even things that we think are need to be done, and we can see that they're for Jesus, and therefore, but, like, we still need to be taking wisdom steps. Basically what I'm saying is that like the nice part about being born again and being born again into a family community, use all the wisdom you have, which is actually what the body of Christ is like, you know, used.
Yeah. And you know, thinking about the like if you have a hard time giving, like if that's something that's really difficult for you, whether it's just something that's totally foreign to you and you're just new to being a Christian, or you're like years into your walk and it's still really strange for you. I think a good way to start is by your time.
You.
Like, start giving your time, like asking, you know, you or any of the other leaders in the church, where can you start to serve? And like give a little bit of your time, or like, you know, opening up your home, providing a meal for a family, or like there was a couple that would just every Sunday invite college students to their house for lunch on Sunday, not because, you know, they were getting anything out of it. They just wanted to give just to college students. And, you know, that's a good way to start thinking about, okay, what does it look like for me to sacrifice, you know, my comfort of getting into a serving role, or opening up my home? What does it look like to do that? But then because all of those things do end up having some sort of financial ramification to them.
Yeah.
So then we can start to ask, okay, this is where I'm at. Maybe this wasn't for me, but there are people that do this. How can I give to them so that they can continue doing what God has called them to do? Yeah. Because God may be calling you to be a sender rather than a doer.
Yeah. That's good. That's
like,
good.
You know, that's like, that's my support raising training coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. That one of the best things I've ever heard was, you know, when I was support raising, and I still do that. It's just the fact that, like, you serving as senders, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very legitimate thing, and, like,
yeah,
it's talked about in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you can be participating in what God is doing across the world because you're, by your work here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, as well, just, like, I think my last thing here would be, please make sure that, like, when you're thinking about this, my last point on Sunday was that giving is a means of grace. It's also as a way, and when I'm saying it's a means of grace, I'm just saying that, like, it's also a way by which God grows us, grows our hearts, and grows. And so, when you're thinking about making that first step towards giving, what I really would say is this. Ask yourself, or maybe get jealous for this, or be curious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very curious. Like, I always do this before I look at, usually, like, I do CrossFit. You knew this was going to come in.
You don't do CrossFit unless it comes up.
Yeah, it's just, the workouts come in.
Yeah.
And usually they come in, and they basically, at the beginning of the week, I already know what we're doing the next day. And then I wake up and I tell myself, I don't want to do that today. Who wants to do 100 burpees? Like, who wants to? But I ask myself questions. What are you going to be, how are you going to feel after that is done? What growth are you forfeiting if you don't walk through this tunnel of suffering, of actually having to go against yourself?
And then if it's CrossFit, it is suffering.
Yeah, it is suffering. But I just have to, like, and so even when it comes to, like, yeah, someone say, hey, give your time and read scripture. Give your time, give your time and serve. Give your time and read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The question behind that is, like, and I want every single one of us to be asking, what growth, what conformity to Christ's image am I forfeiting by not doing this very thing? That just seemingly maybe, because sin turns us inward towards ourselves, right? And really, it's like, love others. There's a reason why it becomes part of the Great Commandment. It's because we just don't do that naturally.
Mm-hmm.
What growth in my life do I forfeit by not doing this one little thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so as you begin to even just, like, maybe, and I would say that, like, hey, please just start by actually just, like, saying, I can't give. For example, like when we started, for example, NX29, our church planting network, they want us to give 10% towards missions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that we couldn't give that at the beginning because we couldn't.
Yeah.
But they said, hey, could you start by giving 1% towards missions? And we gave 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Could you jump to 2%? And I remember when we hit 3%, when we hit 4%, and year number 7 last year, I think you remember, finally we were hitting 10%.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, but yet, actually, and so what I would say to people is sometimes start by 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Start by 1%.
Baby steps.
Start by baby steps.
Yeah.
And I know people who actually just have blown past and they've moved to 15%, to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time in my life where I remember, right now I can't calculate at the top of my head, where I remember I was giving at least 15 to 17, almost close to 20% of what I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and by the way, and I work in church, right? And that's just actually like where I think some church is getting sued because like someone who works in church is suing the church because they are asking them to give. Anyway, that was actually a whole other. Last week in the headlines. But anyway, because like at the end of the day, I don't have this entitled thing of like, Jesus, I work for you, so therefore mm-hmm. I'm not going to give. No, I don't give because. I mm-hmm. give simply because, man, what a joy to know that I can be able to participate in what God is doing.
And
it's bigger than me. And that's like the greatest investment you can make is the one that does not have you as a benefactor, that has you as a benefactor in some indirect way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just that, anyway, that's
yeah,
that's,
well, I mean, that brings in, you know, like one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament is Luke 16. It's mm-hmm. like, listen, that that unrighteous steward, he was setting himself up by sacrificing his job.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed his job and then ended up setting himself up. And then what does Jesus say later?
Yeah.
You can't serve both money and man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you can't have two masters.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what does it look like for you to kill one master?
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking. kill one master so that we can follow,
fully serve
another.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right. And giving does do that.
It does.
It's killing a master, right? Like, there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, I would love.
It's not even a kill. Sometimes it's more like an assassination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, if it wasn't for my wife, I'd be having an electric scooter. I'd have like, and I found a way to justify all that. And my wife's like, nah, we're not doing that. That's just not going to work. I know this thing is going to end up like, so, which is what, like, with
it's
CrossFit.
It's
going to
end up with you in the hospital. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah. With CrossFit, like, as much of an investment as it is,
mm-hmm.
my wife literally, like, once a week, she's like, did you go to the gym this week? Like, it's like,
keeping you accountable. Yeah, keep me accountable. What you're giving.
And so, but now she doesn't have to ask me. I wake up at 4:30 and I'm in that gym at 5:30 and I come back into our house like while everybody's still sleeping. And she has to ask me, hey, did you ever go to the gym? And I was like, yeah, I've gone every day this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is good because, but once again, it speaks of the fact that, like, It's literally because of the treasure we've put,
mm-hmm.
and we are putting our treasure there. So therefore, she's asking, "Hey, are we using stewarding our mm-hmm. treasure the right way?" So
we could go. I could take it in another direction there, but I'm not going to. and that's a good place to end. Just being a good steward of what God has given you.
Mm.
And ask, you know, I want to challenge you to really start to consider that. How are you stewarding the treasures that God has given you? And don't limit it to just your finances. There's a whole bunch of other resources that you have that God has given you, your house, your family, those type of things to really build into the church. So I also want to remind you that this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It's a supplement. Again, it's also not a replacement for being involved in a local church. It's a supplement to that. So while we appreciate you taking your vitamins, we also want to encourage you to get involved. Start giving, even if it's just 1% of your time, 1% of all of the resources that you have. Start there. Get involved. Start going on a Sunday morning. If you're in Williamsport and you don't have a church home, we would love to meet you and talk about what it's like to get you involved and get you planted here. And with that, Raphael, good conversation, good sermon, and good reminder to always be generous because God was generous for us.
Yeah.
Have a good week, guys.
Good week.